Okay. Father, we do appreciate the time that you give us to come together as a body of believers corporately from all different backgrounds and so many, Father, wonderful people that just want to know more and be more intimate with you. And so, Father, as I bring forth the word today, I pray that, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will apply it to our lives, bind it to our hearts, Lord, so that it will stick and it will stay, and that, more importantly, we will carry out as your disciples, your followers, the things that you've indicated for us while we're here on this earth to do, Lord. And I just appreciate you so much and ask for your help right now as I navigate through this message you've given me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So far that we've talked about a lifestyle of discipleship, and we've talked about devotion, having and living a life of devotion, prayer, obedience, self-examination. We also are seeking to look to divine guidance on a daily basis, becoming dutiful with our lifestyle, and expressing charity as well. These have all been characteristics of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as part of being disciples of Christ, we now come to the way, and you may not like this one as much, but it's the way of life of testing. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you've asked him into your heart, I can guarantee you by the authority of God's word that you will live a life of testing. Folks, God is always testing us. While God seems passionately, persistently, and patiently determined to send them, and he does, and we read about it in history and we experience it today, we're typically and regularly committed to avoiding them. I mean, that's just human nature, right? God's committed to test us, to purify us, and we're going to come out as gold, as Job said. And that will happen if we allow the testing process to occur. But we typically, when we see those adverse things coming and those tests coming, just like you're in school, right? When you see the test coming, if you had a choice, you would avoid it. Don't bring the test, please. Can we just get a quiz and move on? But no, there are tests, and God does seem committed to send them. So why does God test us? That's the bottom line. Why does he have to test us? That's a better way to put it. Why does God have to test us? Basically, to prove that we love and we fear him, or reverence him. The word fear here means reverence him. It actually means fear him, too. He's Almighty God. And when he says, do this, it's kind of like Simon says, do this, you better do that. Because he's God and you're not. And you were created in his image. He wasn't created in yours. And the only reason you have the breath of life in you is because of God Almighty. So no matter what kingdom you think you're building here, it will crumble and it will fall if it's not God's kingdom. So God is in charge. And he tests us to purify us, to bring us out forth as gold. Because he knows that we have flaws. And to get rid of the flaws like you would in a diamond or gold and stuff, we have to go through the refiner's fire. So all that to say, that's testing in God's eyes. And sometimes he does the testing, and sometimes he allows the enemy to do things in our life that tests us. The enemy also likes to tempt us, but God can't tempt us because he won't tempt anyone. He'll only test us. But the devil, you can bet, when he's given the liberty to do what he wanted to do, like with Job, will tempt you. And we have to pass these tests or these temptations. We've got to overcome them. And God has given all we need to do that with through the power of his own Holy Spirit living within us. We just have to get in tune with him, and we have to walk in tandem with him, and we just have to obey him. And if we will, he'll walk us through the valleys, even when the shadow of death is covering us and we think that there's no hope. God will bring us right on through because Jesus carries us that way, and he'll bring us right back out into the open, into that beautiful paradise of God, whether that paradise is in the future when you go home to be with Jesus, or whether it's here on earth that we live a prosperous life. But I guarantee you it's not going to be all prosperity. It's going to be a time of testing as well. It's God's way that we love and that we reverence him. And that's proved through testing. So in order to endure the demanding yet rewarding way of testing that God brings us, we need a strength that can only come from God's word. Okay? If we're looking for the answers, don't go to your favorite pastor and don't go to, you know, all these resources you might have or podcasts and stuff like that. Tremendous wisdom comes from those kinds of guys, just like I hope some wisdom comes from what I'm teaching you. But the bottom line is from the Word of God. If we're not preaching the Word of God, if your podcast isn't bringing forth your Word of God, if it's inferences, if it's what we think, it's not what you need to believe. The Word of God is our standard for everything in life. That's why he gave it to us, and that's why it's endured the ages. It's been around. No one's been able to burn it and keep it away from us. Oh, they've burned Bibles, but it's still here. It's forever settled in heaven. This is heaven. This is God's ways, even in the Old Testament. Even though we're not bound by many of the things that they were bound to in the Old Testament, it's still the way God is. He's able to do it because he's perfect. He could make all those laws and say you got to live them perfectly because he can, and he did. Now, we can't, so he had to have option B. And thank God it was him coming in our stead to die for our sins. But it's a demanding and a rewarding way, this way of testing that God brings us. You can bet on it, okay? And the strength does come from God's word. Hence, we're going to take a lesson today, if you're following along, from the book of Job. Job is the best place to go if you are getting hammered. You may not even be hammered. Maybe everything's going very well. Job gives us a good example of that as well. I mean, he had everything going his way, and then all of a sudden, boom, one day, things started to happen. And it was because he was doing everything right, and you're going to find that out in the next couple weeks, that the way you're tested especially is when you're doing everything right. And you're going, oh, great. The more I obey, the more I'm tested. Too much is given, much is required, isn't it? Job was doing everything right, and yet he was tested. He said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? He opened up and allowed the enemy to come in and test him to see if Job's what? Love and reverence for God would change, which it didn't. Oh, he complained, but his love and his reverence for God never faltered. Even when his wife told him to curse God and die, he wouldn't do it. So let's learn a lesson from Job today. The kind of Christian that God tests. Do you know what that is? What's the kind of Christian that God tests? It's the obedient ones. Raise your hand if you're, you know, somewhat obedient, right? You are. I mean, we're all, right? Because we're serving him. We've professed Jesus. Well, those are the ones he tests. The ones he doesn't need to test are the ones that are already rebellious and disobedient because they're not part of the kingdom. And if he throws tests their way when they're in rebellion to him and don't like him anyway, that's not going to help. So the majority of people that are tested are those who are obedient. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whatever, however, wherever part of the country you come from, whose name was Job. And that man was, what does it say? Blameless. He was upright. He feared God, and he turned away from evil. Oh, my goodness gracious. And yet he was tested. So you can be doing it all right. And that's when God comes and says, you know what? The world, the enemy needs to see that those who really love and fear me, really love and fear me. Because it's in their heart, not because they're scared. Because they really, truly do. And I pray that's the way your relationship with God is. You're not here because you're afraid you're going to go to hell. You're here because you have a joy of going to heaven, because you love God with all your heart. The scripture says that Job was perfect and upright, one that feared God and shunned evil. Perfect meaning spiritually mature and fully developed. Not perfect meaning perfect, nothing wrong, you never did anything wrong. It means that he was spiritually mature and fully developed. Upright, meaning a man of integrity, being morally complete. Job had a deep and proper respect for God. And while God tests the obedient like Job, make no mistake, God chastens, which means spanks, if you will, the disobedient, like Jonah, who disobeyed the voice of God. So don't judge people by the circumstances of adversity. You see somebody that's being chastened or in adversity, it could be someone that's in total disobedience to God, or it could be it's someone who is blameless and full of integrity and totally on board with God. You know, we don't understand all of God's ways, but we know that he does test the obedient. And he does chasten the disobedient, and sometimes they look alike. So don't judge it. And don't judge yourself. Oh, God, I must be doing something wrong because this is coming on my life. No, you may be doing something right, and that's why it's coming on your life. Don't forget that. It's important. If you tend to forget, think of Job. Because I'm sure your life somewhere along the line can measure up towards that, though he was pretty upright, according to the scriptures anyway. One may be in adverse circumstances for obedience, or one could be in it for disobedience. In both situations, God's goal is to make us better, more committed, and more fruitful. But note that severe tests come most severely to God's best. The most severest of tests come to those who are God's best. It's in the natural the same way when you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer. Or, you know, well, I can't believe the curve is up to 94%. It used to be 90% used to be an A. Now 93% is an A, and if you're below 80, it's failing. What's the deal with that? It's because the curve is higher. It's because we want better people coming out of these tests with more knowledge and the ability to serve. I remember my wife telling me about nursing. You had to have 100% when it comes to medications and math. Hello. You make one mistake in nursing with math and medications, and it's whoosh, bye-bye to the person you're treating. There can be no room for error there. And when there is, there's generally a huge problem. So understand that with severe tests, they do come to those that God entrusts the most, because you can handle them, and he knows it, like Job. So what are the type of tests God permits to mature us? What are the type of tests? He tests us concerning our possessions. Uh-huh. Gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. Or, you know, I have an open hand to those whom God directs me to. Possessions, he tests you with your family. How many times do you go home every single night and get tested with your family? Can you keep your cool? Can you avoid a fight? Can you be on the same page? Will you pray with one another? Are you reading the word together? Are you arguing or just talking about life itself and not God most of the time? God permits us to have these tests for our possessions, our family, our health. What happens when you're unhealthy or something comes along and you get something? Is it automatically curse God and die? Or, you know, you go to the doctor before you go to the greatest physician of all. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor, but have you invoked God's help first? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. He tests us in our health and with our friends. Oh my gosh, through my life, has he tested me with friends? How do you know who your real friends are? And I think you can all answer that question. It's during times of testing and adversity that you find out who really is your friend. You can read this yourself in Job's chapters 1 through 3. Find out who your friends are. Because he got three friends that supposedly were his friends who came down on him like white on rice. I mean, they just... You must be sinning. You must be sinning. You must be sinning. You must be sinning. How God's ways are so different than ours. We can get tested when we're doing everything right. And we're not in the midst of sin. You might ask, so what is the reason God permits these tests? Firstly, as we see in Job, it's to shut the mouth of the enemy and to silence Satan's accusations. Did you hear that? Satan is the accuser of the brethren, according to the word of God. So what God wants to do, just like he did with Job, I'm sure Satan's going, oh, Job's only serving you because of this. Oh, Job's only serving you because of that. Oh, Job's righteous because you blessed him with family and friends and cattle and this and that. Oh, take that away from him and he won't bless you anymore. He's just accusing Job of only being faithful to God because of what he has. And he's going to accuse you of only being faithful to God because everything's good in your life. But should your health be attacked, or should your finances be attacked, or should you go through a rough time, how faithful will you be to be in the Word or at church or in prayer? Or get it? So God uses these tests to shut the mouth of the enemy. He's looking and saying, okay, here we go. Travis, he's my man. If he can't do it, no one can. And something comes in his life, and when Travis passed that test, God goes, that's my boy. And if he doesn't pass the test, he goes, my son covers it. He wins both ways. But boy, wouldn't it be nice to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. He wants to shut Satan's mouth with the tests that he brings your way. Because Satan's saying, if you get a test, you're going to fail it. And he silences Satan's accusations against you. So if you are living righteously, you can bet that there's accusations in that demonic realm flying upwards to God going, you know, these people are only serving you because they just have everything going well. That's what happens. Job tells us these things. Secondly, it's to purify our hearts from faults and weaknesses. If you have any faults, and I'm sure none of you do, but if you do have any faults, if you have weaknesses, you're God's kids. It's like if our children have things that we know they're in rebellion to or they're not kind of measuring up to the standard with, what are we going to do? Teach them. And the way we teach, come on, right? If you're in school, the way we get taught is by getting those tests. Because if all we do is say things to people and we don't test them, we don't know how much knowledge they have. God tests us to make sure that we're learning the lessons he's bringing into our lives. So if that lesson that comes in that's testing our what? Our possessions or our health or something like that, and we fail, well, you can expect that there'll be another chance that you get. Because he loves you, and he's not going to leave you in failure. And obviously, I believe that God does it in proportion to where your faith is. He'll never give you anything you can't handle. So for those of you that may be a little weaker in your faith, because we can strengthen our faith and build our most holy faith, the Bible says, those that are weaker in faith are going to get a little bit more of the smaller challenges, ones that won't kill them, right? Lord, don't kill me. Kind of like what Moses was doing when he was talking about the glory. You know, it's like, I want your glory, Lord, but not so much so that the power of that glory drops me dead on the spot. Lord, test me, but don't give me anything beyond what I can bear. And Scripture verifies that for us, right? Job 23:10, he purifies us from our faults and weaknesses. But he knows the way that I take. He knows each and every one of you. You're not hiding. He knows your lives inside and out better than you know your lives. When he has tried me, that means you're getting tested. Job sits there with his faith no matter what's going on, and he had a lot going on that he could have cursed God and died for like his wife told him to do. But he didn't. He says, when he's tried me, I'm going to come. I know in the end, I'm coming forth as gold. And that's what you got to remember in your trials and in your testing. That in the end, we win. Even if we were to lose our life in this natural world, we're going to live forever in paradise, the beautiful park of God. We win, no matter what. Thirdly, tests us to establish our trust in himself and his ability to do anything. And his ability during whatever we're facing to do anything. He wants to prove his supernaturalness to our natural feeble minds so that we trust him more. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. What's that? Resurrection. Job knew he was going to live after he died. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. So in other words, yep, I know I'm going to get resurrected if I die, but you know what? I'm a son of God. I have the right because of Jesus Christ to approach him and say, hey, I don't like this, God. That's not sinning to say, God, I don't like this. It's only sinning if you curse God and say, hey, this is wrong. You don't question God. You just simply say, God, have mercy on me. Job 42:2. I know that you can do all things. What a statement. Now remember, I think we're forgetting what Job was going through at this point. Covered in boils, covered with sores, wanting to die, so much pain, so much anguish. His family's dead, his cattle is dead, everything's been taken away from him except his wife. That is a joke in the Christian world. Satan's going, no, leave her, leave her. Yeah, I know. Stick to my day job. I get it. But everything was taken from him but his wife. And, of course, you know, when she says curse God and die, I'm sure Satan's going, okay, we'll leave her because she's giving good advice on his part, right? But Job, even with everything stripped from him, says, I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's faith. That's trust. Fourthly, he tests us to complete and correct our theology or our knowledge of himself. Sometimes we get a little left field when it comes to our theological things that we believe and our knowledge of, oh, this is how God's going to act. When we get a little prideful and think we know it all, or I get up here and think, hey, I got this going on and stuff like that. Humility is still number one on God's list to keep us in humility. Job 4, 7 and 8. He'll test your pride in the area of knowledge and what you think you know about God. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright destroyed? According to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. Well, that would make sense. If I'm sinning, God's going to put this on me. Wrong. That was from one of them that didn't know any better. We know now that God tests us even when we're walking correctly. So just when you think you know God, he'll test us to let him know or let us know that, you know what, we don't know everything. Job did not have it figured out of why he was being persecuted so severely. He never did get to that point. God had to interrupt and say, where were you when I created the world? Sit down, shut up. You went through it. You didn't curse me. I'm going to bless you for it. In fact, right now, but your three friends, I'm going to destroy them. And Job intercedes for them. So just when you think you got your theology right, we got all the answers. We're Carolina Foothills Christian Fellowship, and we're just a step above, and we got all the answers. Oh, God forbid we ever get to that point. No, we don't. We need to stay humble and say, God, you take over. And when you take over, all things will be right. He needs to correct our theology and our knowledge sometimes and take down that pride. Now, this is most important. Eliphaz was telling Job that the righteous can't suffer, only the wicked suffer. Bad things don't happen to good people. Mm-mm. Wrong. Sometimes terrible things happen to God's best people. History and practical experience proves it. Fifthly, God permits tests to open our eyes to see God and ourselves more clearly. Did you ever want to be a little more introspective and see you as you really are? See yourself? No, okay? Job 42, 5 and 6. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Job was trying to figure this all out, but then all of a sudden God shows up and he sees him more clearly. And when he sees him more clearly, he sees himself more clearly. And when he saw himself more clearly, what did he say? I repent in dust and ashes. He didn't do that at first, but all of a sudden he beheld God. Oh my gosh, what have I said in my ignorance? He was in pain. He was in anguish. God understood, obviously, because he praised him at the end. But I just want you to see that a lot of times we don't see ourselves as we really are until we measure up against not the standard of one another, but the standard of Jesus Christ, whom we see. And if we do that, and if we get into God's word and we don't judge each other, but we judge ourselves according to the way God is asking us to live as disciples, that's when we're probably going to need to get up to this altar. This will be done by Christmas and we'll have it for Christmas. You'll need to get on your knees and repent in dust and ashes if that's what it takes. Because we are the created ones, not the creator. And Job saw that immediately. As soon as God showed up, it's kind of like John when he saw Jesus and it says, I beheld him and he did what? he fell back as a dead man. Remember the vision of John in Revelation of God? Couldn't even stand. Remember when the presence of God came down in the glory of the temple or the tabernacle of Moses and the priests couldn't stand? They couldn't even enter in. They couldn't do anything because of the thickness of the kavod, the heavy weightiness, the glory of God was all over that place. They couldn't function, not in God's presence. In God's presence, we worship and we praise him. We don't teach him. We don't say, how did I do, Lord? We get down, and instead of saying, how do I do? I say, oh, God, forgive me for what I've done. That's God. We have to be reminded of that. Job certainly was and does. So, God, fifthly, did that to open our eyes. Sixthly, God permits tests to glorify himself by disproving Satan's accusatory claims. He tests us to prove that, Satan, you're wrong about Teresa. You're wrong about Linda. You're wrong about Eric. Remember, the ultimate purpose for our existence is to glorify God, right? That's why we were created. In everything, that's blessings and trials. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, that would be terrible. Though the yield of the olive should fail, that's not good. And the field produces no food, that's not good. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold, no good. And there be no cattle in the stalls, oh my. Yet, I will exult in the Lord and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. There's your attitude right there, folks. Glorify God in everything, even when the cattle is not in your stall. Even if you have to chase down ostriches because they're not going to be obedient. She did that. There were ostriches on the loose, and Teresa was like a goose, and she went right after them. And right, Eric, she shepherded them right into that stall. But we got to praise God and say, thank you, God. The animals are under our control. And they're about to be undermined because I'm going to exercise your authority. Now, that's a true story. Because all the rest of us were running around like habanches trying to corral these things. And Teresa said, stop! She asked God. She took a little stick and all these huge animals. She just were like Noah going into the ark. They marched right into the Tom and Sue Allen's back of their trailer. Honest to God. And we all just kind of stupefied looked at each other like, did she really just do that? Anything's possible with God. Anything is possible with God. So don't complain to God in adversity or try to justify yourself. Stay humble and trust him. Let God defend you. When Job shut his mouth, God opened his. Job believed in the character of God when he couldn't see the hand of God. He believed the promiser when he couldn't see the promise fulfilled for a season. You see, folks, God purges his fruitful branches to make them more fruitful. We know that from John 15, 2. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that's bearing fruit, here it is, he prunes. And that doesn't feel real good. He prunes it so that it will do what? So you will bear more fruit. You got to remember, your purpose on this earth is to glorify God, not build your kingdom and everything be okay and just hide in your house and wait for the second bus or the first bus or the third one, whatever you believe in the rapture. Quit waiting on God to come back and be busy so when he finds you coming back, you're about his business. Full of faith. Full of faith. The result of God's testing process purifies us. It humbles us. It delivers us. It produces blessings. It establishes our faith. And it makes us more fit for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2:21. I don't know about you, but let's get more fit. Therefore, if anybody cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master. Do you want to be useful to your Father in heaven? Prepared what? Prepared for every good work. God prepares you for every good work. He's got to get rid of the dross. He's got to refine you. You're going to go through some adversity. Praise God through it all, and don't just keep saying, I want to avoid it. Job's trial is a model test for us. I'm telling you, the book of Job is a model test for us. Hence why it's written in the word, yes, God tests can be quite severe, but when he allows, again, even what he allows from the enemy is under his divine oversight. Even what he allows the enemy to do is still under God's oversight. Job's hedge of protection, and that's where that comes in, that phrase, was an invisible angelic barrier. Couldn't see it with his eyes. He only saw his three complaining friends. But there were angels around him. And you know what? When those angels are around you, it's impassable. Impassable. Nothing gets past them to you without direct divine permission. Nothing touches you without God's direct divine permission. When you're in Christ, when you have a relationship with him. Folks, you're his kids. You're his children. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Boy, did Satan get a hold of this one, right? He knows it because he quoted it. He tried to use this scripture out of context as a means to get Jesus to test his own daddy. That's an awesome scripture because that's the truth. But he used this to manipulate Jesus to test his father. So you can take truth, mind you, right? Truth is truth is truth. It's all good. But you can use truth to manipulate people into a certain action, and that's sin. Matthew 4, 5 through 7. I need to book it here. The devil took him into the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it's written. It is written. Remember what Jesus did to the devil out in the wilderness? The way that he got rid of him, it was said, it is written, and the devil fled. Well, the devil took a lesson from that. And he said, hey, throw yourself down from here. He'll command his angels concerning you, and on their hands you shall bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus, recognizing the manipulation, just like you parents recognize the manipulation of your kids and sometimes husbands and wives, right? Jesus was aware of it because he knows everything, right? On the other hand, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. See, the devil used that truth to try to test God, which we don't do. And Jesus saw it. He saw it. Folks, trials will make us or break us. Did you hear that? Trials will make us or break us, but God is willing to risk our defeat. That was so nice of him, right? But God is willing to risk our defeat in order to bring victory into our lives and to glorify himself. See, you think it's all about you. God does want to bring victory into all of our lives. It's true. And you may think this is vain, and he can be. And you may think it's proud, and he can be, because he's God and we're not. I mean, there's nothing past him. He's the ultimate. He's the end of the line. We were created to glorify him. That's our primary purpose, not to bring victory into our lives, but to bring and give all the victory to him. And in turn, by doing that, he'll overflow that victory into our lives. It's not about you. It's about him. And until your life revolves around the fact that it's all about God and not about you, you're gonna be tested. Because that's what the Word of God tells us. And quit always blaming the devil for every trying circumstance that comes your way. The devil's bringing this my way. The devil's bringing this my way. That's your lack of understanding because you just don't really know that. You can try to discern it, and I advise that you do. If you know you're in rebellion or you're in sin and you're doing something wrong, yeah, it probably is the devil having permission to come into your life because you're in rebellion. Because God's going, you know, you just I can't answer that prayer. You're snubbing me right now. But if you know that you're not in direct rebellion to God, then it's more than likely a test that's going to purify you to bring you into that place of glorifying your Father in heaven as Jesus glorified him. Father, I glorified you. Now I want you to be glorified through them. That was his prayer in John chapter 17, is that we, as his disciples, we're talking about discipleship, would glorify the Father through our lives. twice. Listen, twice God, not Satan, started the conversations that led to Job's great affliction. It wasn't the devil. God started the conversation when Satan approached. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? Doesn't sound like the devil was after him. Right? But just as we saw with Job, God does set limits. Because all he wanted to do was test. And he used Satan as his vessel to do so. Because he's in charge of everything. He could wipe evil out right now as we stand here right now and I speak to you. This world could end and he could wipe Satan out and throw him into the, chain him up, do whatever. But he's got a plan. And he's sticking to it. And he wants us to be a part of that plan. Otherwise, he would do it right now. But for the sake of those who do not know Christ yet, he's patient. And he's waiting. He sets limits. Satan cannot pass God's boundaries. Did you hear me? Satan cannot pass God's boundaries. Let's finish this up with a few scriptures and close this very important time for you to understand that not everything coming your way that's in adversity is coming from the devil. You could be being tested. Pass it, folks. Pass the test. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has ever overtaken you. No temptation has overtaken you, but such that is common to man. And God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He knows your limits. But with this temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. So as you're going through it, be looking for your way to escape it so that you will be able to endure it. If you cave in and you're not looking for ways and trusting in God, you'll cave. He says endure, persevere, and if you do, you'll receive the crown of righteousness. Throughout Revelation, he tells us to persevere and endure. He knows that in this life, we're going to experience trials and tests and temptations. We don't have to be happy about it, but James says we should have joy, knowing that God loves us enough that we're his sons and daughters, that we're worthy of being tested. He didn't say we had to be happy about it, but he said there's joy of the Holy Spirit in us because we know that we're proving. We're proving ourselves before our Almighty God. And I know that all of you are doing your best to do that. Now, if you're not, then it's time to start giving your best. Oswald Chambers said, my utmost for his highest. Remember, God doesn't tempt. I'm going to remind you, God does not tempt. Satan tempts. God tests. James 1:13. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. James 1:2-4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, as I just told you, when you encounter various tests or trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect result. What's that? So that you may be perfect and complete, like he talked about Job, remember? That just means you're morally starting to get it right. It doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. Lacking in nothing. It doesn't mean that you don't sin. It just means that you're morally complete, that you're walking for God. And there's sometimes you fall into that. Thank God for Jesus. He forgives us. But that we're arriving. We're becoming mature. We're apples that have matured, right? But sometimes even with a nice mature apple that you eat, there's a little bit of a spot that you see in there, you know. And when it's really, really tiny, you eat it anyway. It's like God with us, you know. We never really arrived. Job never really arrived, but he was considered. He was considered as blameless. I don't think God decides to take a nap every time you go through troubling times. He's not napping. Okay? He sees everything. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil, and he's watching the good. And finally, remember this, folks, God rewards all who perseveringly trust in him, not just once in happenstance. The rewards come when we persevere in the trust that we have for him. Job 27:3-6. For as long as life is in me and the breath of God is in my nostrils, listen to him, and he's in pain. My lips will certainly not speak unjustly, nor will my tongue mutter deceit. Far be it from me that I should declare you right till I die. And when he says you right, the guys that were saying, hey, you know, you're just full of sin. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. Job knew that he hadn't sinned against God, that there was an ultimate purpose that God had for this trial in his life, and he was not going to deter from it. And though those boys were sitting there just claiming that he was sinful and you just need to repent, he said, far be it that I'll ever curse my God or do anything like that. I know that I'm walking in integrity, but even if I'm walking in integrity and God decides to put this on me, I will praise his holy name. What an attitude. Think of yourself. I hold fast my righteousness. You hear that? I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach any of my days. Try that with boils and sores all over you and family being wiped out and all your possessions being wiped out and you're sitting there in dust and ashes before a fire with absolutely nothing but your integrity. Folks, one day you may be sitting there just as Job, with nothing left but your integrity and your praise of God at the mercy of what the world is happening around us. And yes, even be martyred. Will you stand up for Jesus when the rest of the world is going against him and they tell you that you got to do this or else? Because that's what those three friends told Job. Do this or else you're going to go to Sheol in all of your pain. And Job's like, no! I'm standing on my integrity. I know God's not listening to me right now for some reason, and I don't know what that reason is, but I will not. I'm going to stand on my integrity, and even if he takes my life, I know I will be resurrected. That's the attitude we have to have today because the world is coming to a close, folks. If you've not read the book of Revelation, read it. We're in end times. We are in end times. And the persecution that we never even saw in the United States before because we were a blessed country following God, supporting Israel, for the most part, have now turned. Now we can turn back. And the scripture says if we do, our land will be healed. But we got to repent. We got to stop the stuff we're doing in the evil part. But learn this lesson. If only you and you alone are the last one standing, and you don't feel like you can stand, stand. It's worth it. You will be resurrected. You will be in the presence of God. The Lord restored Job twofold all that was taken from him, and he died an old man full of days. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of testing is a part of life lived for Jesus Christ, and the reward for your faithfulness is paradise forever.